Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message inspires you. And now, here is Pastor Jesse Norman.
We are in a series called Resolution, finding some new solutions for our resolutions and how to make change work for us rather than working for change. And man, I just think, how many enjoyed last weekend? It was a really incredible, I thought, a really great message. And last weekend we talked about what? It's not a project, it's a process. It's not a project, it's a process. That really, when we have a project, we are the initiator of that project. We're the responsible party for that project. But a process is a God-initiated thing in our lives that God leads the way, and we do our best to engage in the process. And as we engage in the process, man, change really sticks and change really lasts. And today we're going to continue in this thought, and really today is about how do we embrace the process. What does it look like to really embrace the process? So if you got your Bibles with me today, Philippians chapter 3, and if you don't have a Bible, don't worry, they're going to put it on the big Bible behind me. How many are taking notes today? I read somewhere that you are 90% more likely to go to heaven if you take notes in church. So I would venture to say it would be a good idea to do it. So if you don't have something to write on, like write on your hand, I don't know what you're going to do. But take some notes today. Really dig in. Grab a hold of this thing, because I think this message is really going to impact your life. Philippians chapter 3, and today I'm reading out of the Message Bible. Just puts it so plainly, so cleanly. And this is what it says. And this is the Apostle Paul writing. It says, I'm not saying that I have it all together. How many go, that's good news that the Apostle Paul is writing that? Like, I'm saying, like, this man wrote half the Bible, okay? And he's saying, I'm not saying I got it all together and that I've made it, but I'm well on my way, reaching, this is outdoor. Are we reaching outdoor for Christ? Anyway, we're reaching out to Christ, who has wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this. But I've got my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning me onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. So let's keep focused on that goal. Those of us who want everything that God has for us, if any of us has something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clearly clear your blurred vision. You will see it yet. Now that we're on track, let's stay on it. Today, I want to talk to you around this topic or this thought, building on last week. I'm not trying, I'm training. I'm not trying, I'm training. Let's pray today. Jesus, we thank you for today. God, we pray that you'd speak to us, that you would lead us and guide us. Lord God, give us some tools today that will help change last in our life. God, may we look into 2018 with great expectation, Lord God, knowing that you've already got a plan, you've already got a purpose, and you're working all things to the good of those that love you. Lord, we love you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Come on, if you love Jesus today, put your hands together for him. I got a question for you today. Have you ever started a new hobby? Like a brand new hobby, like, you know, started a new hobby. I have to admit, I'm one of those guys that has had 1,000 hobbies in my life. Do I got anybody else out there that knows what I'm talking about, man? Like, I'm one of those people, like, literally, when I say 1,000, like, I'd just like to give you some of them right now. Baseball, basketball, football, soccer, golf, lowrider bike building. True story, people. I went through a phase in my life where I like to build the little lowrider bicycles. Don't judge me. Oh, man. So many things. Fishing, hunting, trumpet playing. Like the horn. Like, You know what I mean? Like, yeah, actually went through that phase, man. Trumpet playing. You know what? I went through a phase of going skateboarding, paintballing, doing so many things, trying so many new things out, and finally, and last but not least, Harley mug collecting. For those of you that were here last week, you just got that joke. You know, the thing is I've had all kinds of passion points, things that I've tried out, things that I've gotten involved in. And I'm one of those people, man, when I get into a hobby, like, I go from 0 to 100 in about 3 seconds. My wife drives her nuts with this. I remember when we first got married, I grew up in Arizona, and we really don't have water in Arizona. It's just a desert. There's really no water. It rains like 5 times a year and, you know, so on and so forth. So I didn't really grow up around fishing, okay? Never really been fishing, never really had went. And she comes to me and says, every year, you know, this is right when we first got married, every year our family takes a trip to Minnesota. And we stay on one of those little resorts and we fish. And I'm like, oh, God. Oh, I better go to Barnes & Noble. I, like, stocked up on books. I'm like, this is going to be miserable. I'm complaining. I'm like, who wants to sit on a boat with a thing in a water? I'm like, how is this fun? You know, so I go, and then I get out there. The problem is I had been fishing a couple times in my life. I just never been fishing where it's good. And I remember going out there, and we're trolling around, and I have no idea what I'm doing. You know what I mean? Like, I throw the thing in the water. We're cruising around on the boat. And all of a sudden, I'm like, boom. What do I do? You know, I'm freaking out. I start reeling, whatever. And you see this fish jumping out of the water. I'm like, it's huge. Like, this is amazing. You know, I'm so pumped. And then you get, like, it up to the boat. And then you get it up in the boat. And it's trying to kill you. You know what I mean? Like, and I was just so excited. I'm pumped about it. I get it in the boat. And I looked at this. And I was like, there is a God. And he created fishing. And so, like any good fisherman, I come home and I go to Bass Pro Shop, you know what I mean? And I start buying things. I don't even know what I'm buying. I'm like, this thing is a lure thingy, and it looks cool. It makes noise. I don't know what this thing is. I'm just buying stuff. I'm buying fishing poles. I walk in, and I'm like, what's the best one that my wife's not going to kill me for buying? And I go, I buy it. I do things like this. I went and I bought every bass fishing, northern pike, fishing video that you could find. And my wife has come home, and I'm sitting in front of the TV, and I'm watching dudes talk about fishing. And she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm pumped. I'm pumped about this, man. I got a new hobby. I got a new thing. And pretty soon, I'm like talking about buying a boat. She's like, babe, you've been one time. You've been one time. Let's not spend $10,000 on a boat. And I'm like, fine, fine. But next year. And you know what? The funny thing is, as excited as I was about that thing, and as excited as I got about that hobby, have you noticed that sometimes that excitement that was once there starts to wane a little bit? And the reality is, I still love fishing. I still love to go. But somewhere on the journey, me trying out fishing began to lose its passion. Because why? Trying something out is based on how we feel, but training has to do with commitment. What I started to realize is that fishing is a little bit more complex than what I thought it was. Like, just because my father-in-law knew where the spots on the lake were, where to go find the fish, because he's been fishing there since Jesus was on planet Earth. Just kidding, Jerry. Just kidding. That he knows the spots and he knows the places, and all of a sudden I have a feeling that I'm good at fishing. Well, then I go one time and Jerry's not there, and I start to realize I'm not really good at this. I go out all day. I've tried every lure of the $200 that I've spent. Every 5 minutes, I'm changing it. Maybe this one will work. Maybe this one will work. Maybe this one will work. And all of a sudden, my trying starts to lose passion. Why? Because I've been faced with training. Let me tell you today, there is a huge difference between trying and training. You know, I've seen this in people's faith journey quite a bit. They kind of show up to church like, I'm going to try out church. I'm going to try out Jesus. I'm going to try out this thing. And they come and they kind of, they get excited at the beginning, and then they keep moving forward, and then some of the emotion wears off and the training starts to kick in. And now all of a sudden, I don't really know if church is for me. I really don't know, because why? They're met with honest to goodness commitment. Let me put it to you this way. We change because we commit our whole lives to Jesus, not because we try out Jesus. Let me say, real lasting change in our lives comes when we commit our whole life to Jesus, not when we try him out. Why? Because trying has to do with feelings. Commitment has to do with training. Commitment has to do with the decision that we make in our hearts. Commitment has to do with saying, you know what, whether I feel like it or not, I'm committed to what I'm putting my hand to. I'm committed to what I'm putting my heart to. I'm committed to the things of God. I love these two words, trying and commitment. You'll see me interchange throughout the day the words commitment and training, because it takes a whole lot of commitment to make it through the training process. I love these words. Trying means to attempt to accomplish something. That's literally the Webster's Dictionary definition of trying. To attempt to try to accomplish something. But commitment means a devotion or a dedication to a person or to a thing. See, trying can happen in a moment, but commitment is lived over a lifetime. There's some things that I want you to begin to see today. The difference between trying and training. See, trying celebrates only victories. Commitment celebrates faithfulness. Let me say that again. Trying only celebrates victories, but commitment celebrates faithfulness. See, trying has a beginning and an end. Commitment is a lifetime journey. See, trying has to do with an event. Commitment has to do with the process. And you know what I'm believing for in your life in 2018? That we would move from trying the things of God to being committed to the things of God. Because it's not what we do in a moment, friend, that impresses God. It's what we do faithfully over a lifetime that moves the hand of God in our life. I see so many people, man, they come into church and kind of try to attempt this. Like, man, I went to church, I was loving Jesus, and then 3 weeks later, things got bad in my life. And you know what? Church doesn't work. Faith doesn't work. That's trying. Commitment looks like this. I came to church. I met Jesus. I begin to fall more in love with him. And then things begin to go wrong in my life. And then all of a sudden, I begin to realize that God is with me in the storm as much as he's with me in the mountain. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stop trying to get to God. And I'm going to have commitment to the things of God. And I will not be moved on this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For what? He is with me. There are things that are going to come against your life that is going to test your commitment. And if you come at change in 2018 trying, you're going to miss out on the great blessing of what it means to really be committed. See, this is exactly what the Apostle Paul is writing about in the book of Philippians. He's saying, friends, I don't have it all together. Think about this for just a moment. Like, if our faith was in trying, if trying only celebrates victories, the Apostle Paul wouldn't have been able to write this with great confidence. He says, friends, I don't have it all together. I don't have it all put together, but here's what I do know. I'm getting better than I was yesterday. God found me over here, and I may not be where I want to be, but I'm sure as heck not where I used to be. And so you know what I'm doing? I'm doing this one thing. I got this one thing in front of me. I got this one thing. I have a goal, and it's more of Jesus in my life. I got this thing out in front of me, this thing that I feel like God's laid a hold of me for. It's a calling. It's a purpose. It's a destiny. And at the end of it, you know what it is? It's discovering more and more of Him along the journey. I've got this one thing, and I'm going to forget what lies behind me. I'm going to press on towards it now in front of me. What is He saying? You know what? I'm moving from trying, and I'm going to start training. I'm going to start training. See, training happens when we commit our whole life to Jesus, not just try out Jesus. You know, the training process is one of those things. Has anybody ever started the gym? How many started at the gym this week because of your New Year's resolution? I'm one of those guys. Can't you tell? You know, you first start going to the gym and you walk in and I don't care how pumped you are. I don't care how much feelings you have towards it. You can feel great going in the gym. Like, anytime I get back in the gym, I need you in gym clothes. Because I may not look good physically, but I'm going to look good on the outside if I'm going to be at the gym. You know, and so I get my new clothes on. I get ready for the gym. I go into the gym. And it sounds really, really good until I hit that start button on the treadmill. You know, last week we talked about the religious treadmill that you get on. But there's not something wrong with the treadmill. There's something wrong with who's driving the treadmill. See, when we drive the treadmill, we get on a religious treadmill of trying to do better, do better, do better. And for every time we mess up, we throw another do-gooder on top of it. And pretty soon, we're spending our whole life running 1,000 miles an hour trying to be better. And then all of a sudden, everything collapses. Everything falls apart. Why? Because we didn't understand the purpose of the treadmill. We didn't understand who should be leading the treadmill. See, when God's on the treadmill, some of your behavior will look very similar to those that are bound in religion. See, I want to tell you today, you should read your Bible. And you should pray, but you shouldn't do it to be a better person. You should do it because God's working in your life and God's running the treadmill. So when we get on the treadmill, God understands, hey, there's breath that's needed. There's pace that's needed. Because why? He's not consumed with your performance. He wants to train you to have victory in your life. See, training truly is a whole life process. It's taking your whole life and putting it into the process. Like, I remember discovering this in the scriptures for the very first time when Jesus called his disciples. Little leadership caveat here for all my leaders in the room. Sometimes the people that are just around or available don't make the best team members. Sometimes the people that are busy doing things make the best team members. And Jesus understood this. He didn't like, you know, when he was looking for apostles, he didn't like, you know, hold on one second. Cheers. He didn't wake up one day and go, you know what we're going to do? We're going to do Jesus Christ Crusade 2017. We're going to gather a whole bunch of people, and then we're going to put an Excel sheet in the back. We're going to sign up sheet in the back, and, you know, if you want to be an apostle, sign up in the back. No. Jesus, what? He sought God, he prayed, and then he went and called them. So here's the scene, and it's found in Matthew chapter 4. Jesus is walking down the beach, and he's ready to recruit some people to training day. He's ready to recruit people to a training process. He knows they don't have it all together, and they haven't left everything behind, and they're whatever, but he's looking for some people that will respond to the training process. He's walking down, and he sees Peter, and he's in a boat cleaning nets, and he looks up at Peter, and he says, hey, Peter. He says, hey, you, come here. Here's what I want you to do. You come follow me. And Peter, the Bible says, leaves his boat, leaves his nets. Whole life commitment begins to follow Jesus. One of the other great stories is found in 1 Kings chapter 19. It's a man by the name of Elisha. Now, there was a prophet by the name of Elijah who's a man of God, raised people from the dead, prophetic in nature, man, just a man of God. Most people were kind of scared of him because he was just such a man of God, you know? In fact, in one point, he called bears out the mall people. It was a crazy story, true story in the Bible for all of you that like a little gladiator. Check out Elijah. But Elijah was this man of God, and this man of God, and he's coming to the end of his life. He knows it's coming. And he's at the point where he's ready to raise somebody up. He's ready to build the next generation. He's ready to give away his leadership. And he starts to raise up another man by the name of Elisha. Now, Elisha is sitting there, and Elisha works for his dad's business. He's a businessman. He's very successful, has a lot going on. He's busy. He's on the grind. And here comes the man of God, Elijah, and he comes into town, and he looks up, and there's Elisha. And the Bible says that he's plowing on 12 oak of oxen, which is being, the modern-day Caterpillar 5000 bulldozer, okay? Like, he's just out there, you know, pulling things, and the oxen are going, and he's up there doing his thing. And here comes Elisha, and Elisha walks up to him, doesn't say a word to him, takes off his mantle, which is a sign of authority, anointing, and the power of God on his life. Takes it off, walks up to him, doesn't say a word, throws it on him. Throws it on him and just starts walking away. And Elisha knows what's going on. He's heard about Elijah. He knows the symbolism of the mantle. What is Elisha saying? You're next. You're next. And so Elijah gets off and he says, whoa, 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 hold up. Hold up, hold up, hold up. I see what's going on here, but let me go say goodbye to my family. And I love it. The man of God, just so bold, so confident. He looks at me and goes, do whatever you want. What have I done to you? It's literally what he says. Like, do you want this or not? Are you all in or not? Because if you're looking just to try this out, friend, you're going to fail every time. But if you're wanting to move from trying to training, if you're ready to put your whole life into the things of God, to carry what I carry is going to take a whole life commitment, friend. So what have I done to you? What have I done to you? And the Bible says that something like triggers in Elisha, and he moves from trying to commitment. He gets off his oxen, and this is the symbolization. The Bible says he kills all of them. Kills all the oxen, sacrifices them as a burnt offering, takes the basically the sleigh or the thing, the yoke that is driving it, goes out and sells it and gives it away, gives it to somebody, comes back and says, I'm ready. I'm ready. You know what? A whole life response has to do with you dealing with the things that are dividing your heart. So what could be holding you back this year from real change in your life? You can't dabble in change. You can't try change. You got to go all in. For Elisha, it was getting rid of his past. It was getting rid of plan B for his life. You got to get the symbolism here is he's being called to change. He's being called to a next level. He's being called to the things of God. But back in his pocket, he's got 12 yoke of oxen, and he's got a business that he's running. He's got these things, and in the middle of that, the decision that he's trying to make and the decision the man of God is bringing him to is, are you going to try this out, or are you going to train? Because the person who's going to carry it after me, trying ain't going to cut it, but training will go a lifetime. And so what does he do? As a symbolism, as a thing for inside of himself, he kills what he could go back to. I got a word for you today in 2018. You can't just replace the thing that you're trying to get rid of. You got to kill it and move forward so you can't go back to it. You got to remove it. For some people in here, it's a relationship. You just need to let that thing go and never go back to it. For some of you in this place, it's a job or a thing that you're going on. For some of us, you know what we need to do? We need to let somebody be aware of that thing. Because we've got it hidden and we've got it tucked away. And here's the reality. Part of training in your life, part of giving your whole life, is trusting that God sees you, he loves you, he cares for you, he's not come to embarrass you. You can get real with somebody along in the journey and say, hey, you know what, here's some things that I'm struggling with down in here. And you bring it to the light, and it's amazing. Then you can begin to get rid of that thing in power. But training has to do with a whole life response. Friends, we have to be people that we're not trying, we're committed to training. See, the training process, once we've committed our whole life to it, and once we've leaned into the process fully, then what we begin to understand along the journey is that training is a development process. So really, number one, training is a whole life response or a whole life process. Can't hold anything back. You got to put it all the way in. But then you got to understand the reason there's training in place is to develop you as a person. You know, the thing to understand about development and the thing you've got to understand about how God brings change into people's lives, God does very rarely, I think there's every once in a while, and I would call it a miracle when it happens, when God moves despite what we're doing. A miracle. But most of the time in our life, God doesn't move in miracles. He moves in process. And process with God always begins with a seed. Now, there's a great parable that Jesus taught to illustrate this in the Bible. It's called the parable of the sower. The Bible says a sower went out and sowed some seed. So he takes some seed. So like for many of us, we don't, this isn't like something that we normally do, but this was a way of life for people. And people understood like, hey, you got to go out. In order to get something growing, you first have to what? Plant something. In order for change to happen, we first have to begin to start to plant something new. So the Bible says a sower went out to sow some seed, and some seed fell upon the wayside, which is basically the road. Like if you went out and threw your seed on the pavement out here, I mean, you know, nothing's going to grow, okay? But it says some fell in the rocky soil. It's just a symbolism of having too much clutter in your life. There's not enough room for God. There's things blocking it. And then some fell along the thistles, and faith began to grow up. But alongside of it was growing up other things that begin to choke it out and begin to, but some of the seed fell on good soil. And on that good soil, there was some that reaped 30 times what they sowed. There was some that reaped 60 times what they sowed, and some that reaped 90% of what they sowed. You know what? I was praying through this today, this week as I was preparing my message, and I said, God, this is terrible odds. 25%? 25% of the seeds that God sows over humanity stick. And you know what I found is that we're not responsible for the seed of change. That's what last week was about. You got to understand, God will plant the seed in your spirit. He will lead the way. He will help you. He will lead you. He will guide you. You're not responsible for the seed. What you're responsible for is what kind of soil is it going to fall on? What kind of soil can you do this year? That's what the training process is about. It's about developing the soil of your life, that when God sends a seed your way, when God comes, what? In that seed is destiny. In that seed is fruit. In that seed is abundance. But the seed has to be planted in something that can help it grow. So there are some things that we have to develop in our life in order for the seed that God plants in our life to begin to grow. I want to give you a couple of them. I think Christianity, for the most part, people make way too complex, too hard. Jesus was the master at just making things simple. They come to him with a list of 512 laws and say, hey, which one of these is the most important? He responds back, oh, that's simple. Love God, love people. Pretty simple, right? Pretty simple. See, religion wants to make it complex because it wants to keep the outsider outside. It want to keep the insider condemned, never feeling like they're doing enough. But grace says, no, the outsider belongs. This is simpler than you think. Grace says, hey, if you're in the house, you're not condemned. You are full of grace and power. You can look into the future with great expectation. These are the things that God wants us to carry in our life. But there are some things that God gives us that sets us up for success. Really, the first thing that you pray. Prayer is the oxygen of heaven. A Christian without prayer is like a fish without water. They may survive for a season, but eventually, baby, that thing's going to die. Prayer is when you breathe in the things of God. It's communion with God. It's talking to God. I remember I was with one of my mentors, pastors, that I love so much. His name's Pastor Phil Pringle. He leads a movement. They've planted 700 churches worldwide, got hundreds of thousands of people in their churches, and just a man of God. But he's not stiff. You know what everybody following along with what I'm saying? Like, he's fun to be around. He likes to have fun. I go out to dinner with him. He's a lot of fun. It's not stiff. And I remember looking at Pastor Phil, and he's been in this thing for 30 years, and I asked him, I said, Pastor Phil, how have you lasted 30 years? I know the stress he's overseen, the problems he's overseen. The man has built close to $1 billion, I think, of buildings around the world. It's unbelievable. You know what I mean? Like the stress, the constraint, the things, the all those things that you wrestle with as a leader. How have you made the journey without messing up. Because it's easy to mess up as a leader, and we're judged by a higher standard. And kind of, honestly, it's one of my fears in life is that, man, I can mess the thing up. So I'm looking at him, Pastor Phil, how have you made it through this journey? And he looks at me, just as straightforward and simple as possible. I love it. Felt so much like Jesus to me. He goes, oh, simple, in his Australian accent. Oh, simple, mate. Here's what you do. Here's what you do. You pray every day. Don't skip. Pray every day. Pray. Get that in you. Just make up your mind. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be a man of God. I'm going to pray. You know, everything else, you know, build a discipline for it, but you cannot live without prayer. You got to pray. Got to pray. He said, sleep with your own wife. That's good advice. He said, don't do any of that other stuff. Okay, just sleep with your wife. That's why God gave it to her. He gave it, you know what I mean? Just stay faithful there. Stay in that zone. And then he looks at me and he says, and build buildings. And I was like, what do you mean by that? And he said, you got to have a vision in your heart that grounds you. But I walked away from that going, you know what? That leading statement, you got to pray. You got to pray. You know how you keep the things, the seed of God alive in you, the change that God's trying to build? You got to pray. You got to pray just to make it today. Come on, MC Hammer, somebody. You got to go Hammer, go Hammer. No, sorry. You got to pray. You got to pray. You got to keep it alive in you. But the other thing is, man, you got to get into the Bible. You got to get in the Bible. Like, how do you know what to build your life on unless you have a blueprint for it? And for many of you today, like, you need to start, like, a new discipline. You need to start the training process in your life. You know what? If you've never done it before, give God 15 minutes in prayer. He doesn't need you to be long-winded. Just spend time with him. As you begin to build prayer in your life, you can go on our website. You can go on to Get Involved or Pray First, our Pray First website, and you can download a daily Bible reading plan that will walk you through it. But if you're brand new to the Bible, don't start with that. Start in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Discover who Jesus is. Get that in you. Because that training process, friends, when you need it most, is what's going to come out of you. You know, one of the things that I love so much is that God doesn't want us just to pray or read our Bible because that has to do with us vertically. But if we're going to love God and love people, he also wants us in great relationship with one another. And I promise to you, friend, I don't know what it is. There's really one more thing that he really wants us to do is he wants us to be generous. He wants us to give of ourselves. You can do that through serving on teams here, by tithing and being a generous person. You just build that discipline in your life. Like, I'm not going to be stingy. I'm not going to hoard things. I'm going to give. Because why? I'm training my heart for more of God. Training my heart. I'm going to give. I'm going to build good relationships in the house of God. I'm going to get in a crew. I'm going to begin to pray, and I'm going to read my Bible. There's some things that we have to train into our life. There's some things that we have to build, because what? God has already birthed a seed in your life. The question is will you maintain the soil? Will you create an atmosphere in your life that's full of prayer, that's full of the word of God, that's full of great people who call the best out in you and believe in for your future and want to pray with you and walk with you? Will you give of yourself so myself isn't in the way? Create some room. Clear the soil out. Because why? Change is a development process. But also this is that change is a preparation process. See, God wants to develop things in you, but he also wants to prepare you for something. I remember when I was, speaking of hobbies, I think when I was 14, I went paintballing for the first time. And friends, I was hooked. Any other adrenaline junkies out there, you're kind of like that. I am too. You put me jumping out of a plane or getting shot at, I feel awesome. I went and started playing paintball, and I went head over heels into it. I started reffing games at the field. I started playing on teams. I started playing in tournaments. Well, I got really competitive. Like, I had, like, all kinds of gear. Then I began traveling paintball. I was playing amateur professional paintball by the time I was 16. And periodically I was subbing in for professional teams by the time I was 17. I was playing in a tournament in Las Vegas. And I was playing in this tournament in Las Vegas, and we were playing this team, and we had been working on a drill. What have we been doing? We've been training. we had been training. And there's particular field. Out in the field, there was barrels and a big X in the middle of the field. And that was the center, the 50-yard line of the field. And my job, being small, skinny, and fast, was to get there as quickly as humanly possible and not die. Sound like a good objective? Okay, awesome. And so the whistle blows, and I run, and I dive into the bunker that was right in front of that, and I could see dust kick up over the other side that the other guy had beat me in there, right? Well, luckily, I looked up and said, you know what? I got a plan for this. Because why? When everybody else was just kind of thinking about it, I had been training for it. And I got up. As soon as I told my back guy, I said, put the other side down. I'm talking in paintball terms right now. I said, put the other side down. And he got up, and I took off running, and I dove clear across this X in midair like this, came around the corner, and shot this guy right in the back of the neck and knocked him out. Seriously, he just went poop, just toppled over. And I got down in the other side of the X, and I was alive. And you know what? It was awesome because a photographer caught that shot of me midair like this. I wound up on the front of the tournament's, you know, magazine for that kind of thing. And people were like, dude, where did that move come from? Like, that was so epic. Like, you could hear people cheering and all this kind of stuff. And people were like, dude, that's the best instincts I've ever seen. You just knew to go, and you knew to that. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Yeah, that's me, dog. You know what I mean? Like, I knew what to do. I was in the game. You know what I mean? I got flow, yo. Like, you know, you just kind of soak up the praise when you can get it. You know what I mean? But the truth of the story is I had been training on that move for weeks and weeks. When nobody else was looking, I'd go out on the paintball field with my gun, with paint. I'd put a stick in the ground on the other side of some barrels and put it there with a little ugly head on it. We had these fake heads. It was awesome. I put it there, and I put it, and I would run and dive and try to shoot it midair. All beat up, you know what I mean? Run, you know what I mean? Until I knew I could get in the air and still have control over what I was doing, and I could hit right where I wanted to. I trained and I trained and I trained. See, it's the things when nobody else is looking that give you the goods, when the opportunity, when the situation demands it. You know why God wants you to be a person of prayer, a person of the Word of God, a person of great relationships? Why God wants you to give of yourself selfly? You know what? You may not need it right now, but let me tell you, friends, we are against a real enemy, and his name is the devil. He's not a figment. He's not a pitchfork guy with a cute little thing. He wants to oppose your life. And when that comes against you, friend, only what you've put on the inside of you is going to come out of you. And I don't want to be found on empty. I don't want to be found with not what I'm supposed to have. But in that moment, you know what I want to come out of me? You know what? When I feel resistance in my life, God is good. God, today I pray that you would move in my life. You've been faithful to me in the past. You're going to be faithful to me in the future. God, today your word says, greater is he who is in me than he who's in the world. God, your word says you will work all things for the good of those that love him. God, your word says, you know what? And we get in those moments, and I got a friend to call, and I got somebody to pray for me, and I've got everything that I need. And you know what? You look at that and you go, devil, you want to resist me? You want to resist me? You don't know who you're messing with, friend. I'm going to keep on giving. I'm going to go the extra mile. I'm going to be in church on Sunday. I'm going to take it to the next level. Why? Because what? I've been training for this. I've been training for this. Friends, we've got to move from trying to training. I want to share one more story with you. I know I'm going a little long-winded. But I remember when I first got into ministry, I'd come out of a really, really really rough lifestyle. I was a hot mess, and a pastor saw something in me. I don't know what he saw, but he started giving me opportunity, and I was interning at the church. And I remember we were walking together, and I thought I was like, it's a huge church. It's like a 6,000-member church, you know what I mean? And pastor's kind of like a little bit of a celebrity, if you would. And I was his right-hand, like, intern, right? Like, so I'm feeling like, you know, I'm the stuff, dog. You know what I mean? Like, and I remember we were walking one day, me and him, and we're walking, and he's walking 100 miles an hour. Like, he was just that kind of guy. He's always on a mission. I'm trying to keep up. And we had this, these outside bathrooms at the church that really they weren't really designed for this, but this kind of, the church was in a really poor area. And so really homeless people used to use it to kind of get cleaned up. And every week you'd walk by that thing and you'd be like, dear God, did somebody die in there? You know what I mean? Like, it was brutal. It smelled, it was nasty. And he walked by and he looked in there just real quick and goes, man, Jesse, we got to get somebody to clean that up. And I walked away and I said, yep, no problem. Calling the janitors. And, I had this idea and I started to walk away and just real quietly, I heard God say, hey, I want you to go clean that up. I said, get behind me, Satan. You know what I mean? Like, no. I'm a man of God. I got a great destiny out front. I'm called the priest of the nation. You know, I like prophesying. I try to get myself out of this thing. I go sit at my desk and I'm getting ready to call maintenance. And dude, I could feel it. It was like God putting a seed inside of me. I could feel it. And the question was, what was I going to do with that seed? And I said, fine. You know what I mean? I'll do it. So I went to the closet and I got those big old yellow gloves. You know what I'm saying? Like, I needed a hazmat suit is what I needed. And I put these things on and I've got like a gallon of bleach. And so I go over there and I'm not a happy camper. I go in this thing. And I'm like, it smells like crap and blah, 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 blah. These people, no respect. And blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? And I'm sitting there and finally I get in there and I'm kind of like, you know, I'm half blessing it. And I'm just kind of, you know, doing the thing, and I'm crying, and it's like 150 degrees outside. It's in the middle of summer, and there's no air conditioning in these bathrooms. And I'm just, quite frankly, I'm angry at the time. And I'm complaining, and just as quickly as possible, I could feel the Holy Spirit. Like, literally, it was like he stepped in that bathroom with me. And he looked at me. He didn't really look at me, but I felt like that. I felt like it was like looking into my soul. And I heard these words really clearly. If you can't do any better than that, I'll never let you clean up people's lives. And I was sitting there. I dropped to my knees around this toilet. This is disgusting. And tears are streaming down my eyes. I'm crying. And I'm a mess. And I'm going, God, I'm so sorry. These people aren't the problem. I'm the problem. This bathroom isn't the problem. I'm the problem. My pride, my arrogance, my all of this kind of stuff. And let me tell you, friends, I got to cleaning. I'm throwing bleach everywhere. I'm shining this toilet. I'm not going to stop until I can see my face in that thing. Why? Because God wasn't interested in me cleaning a bathroom, friend. He was interested in training me for the process. So fast forward, it's probably 6 years later, and I'm a youth pastor at the time, and we're really kind of experiencing like a move of God in our youth ministry. And every year it was doubling, you know, 100 people, 300 people, 600 people. And I remember we set this night to kind of, we're going to break 1,000 teenagers. And some of you are like, that's not smart. That's not safe. I know. I don't know what we were doing either, okay? But 1,000 teenagers. And I remember coming out from backstage that night and I looked up and it was a zoo. There's kids all on the balcony, all over the floor. There's people sitting on the stage, whatever. And I remember I was standing there, and I'm just sitting there, and just emotion coming over me, watching what God was doing. And I said, God, what did I do to cause this? And friends, I don't know if I've ever had an encounter like this in my whole life. I could literally smell that bathroom. I could smell it. It was like I was in it. God said, you know what, son? I pay attention to things that other people don't. While everybody else was walking by that bathroom, complaining about that bathroom, you got in the process and you begin to train and you begin to carry the right spirit and the right things. So you know why you're walking in what you're walking in today? Because while everybody else was trying, you were training. Friends, we got to be that kind of church. We got to be those kind of people. We got to be that kind of place. Well, we're not going to try. We're going to train. Come on, why don't you stand to your feet with me today?
Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast. We hope that this message inspired you to love God, love people, and lead in life. If you'd like to connect with us further, please visit us on the web at mycitychurch.cc. Until next time, we are believing that the best is yet to come in your life.